It's On Second Thought. I'm Celeste Headlee. If you regularly listen to this show, you may have caught our weekly series, The Georgia Playlist. That's where we ask people about their two favorite songs by Georgia artists.
They put it over a beat that you could juke to and groove to and afterwards, you know, talk about. So for me, you know, it was just that they moved your mind and your booty.
His voice is really unique. It kind of puts you in a trance, you know, it's like, da, 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 da. And you're like, what? Where are we going? We're going somewhere weird.
The song is, it's kind of spare. And if you hear this song, if you saw Pylon play and you heard this song and you didn't dance, it's because you were sick.
You just heard the voices of Atlanta rapper Killer Mike, Julia Kugel of The Coat Hangers, and Mike Mills of REM. They all joined us at some point this year to make our Georgia playlist. A lot of amazing music has come out of the South in 2016, and here to talk about the best of it is Chuck Reese. He's the editor of The Bitter Southerner, and he recently compiled his annual list of the best Southern albums of the year. Hey, Chuck.
Hi, how you doing, Celeste?
So give me an idea of how many albums there was to choose from.
We had about 200 or so that were on the playlist, and I'm sure we missed a few.
Yeah.
And it was a better year for music in the South. You know, a lot of the year-end wrap-up stuff that I've heard and read over the last week or so since we finally finished putting our thing together was really talking a lot about the vitality of the album this year. And I particularly think if you look at, you know, there's one record in particular in our top five that I think pointed in that direction.
And which album is that?
That would be A Seat at the Table by Solange.
Let's hear a song off of that album. And this is one of the interludes. Let's hear it.
I think part of it is accepting that it's so much beauty in being Black. And that's the thing that I guess I get emotional about, because I've always known that. I've always been proud to be Black. Never wanted to be nothing else. Loved everything about it. Just, it's such beauty in Black people. And it really saddens me.
Why are we talking about interludes here? Is this part of your comprehensive album idea?
Well, in her case, she made it that way. The interesting thing, you know, little spoken word interludes have been common on hip-hop records for years.
Janet Jackson did them.
Oh,
often.
Yeah, absolutely. But on A Seat at the Table, I think they were done with more purpose than I've ever heard on a record.
They're racist. That's reverse racism. Or they have a Black History Month, but we don't have a White History Month. Well, all we've ever been taught is white history. So why are you mad at that? Why does that make you angry? That is to suppress me and to make me not be proud.
The issues they talk about are issues that are very real in their community. And the particular one you just played is her mother talking about how proud she is of her Blackness and wonders why certain people can't see that. And it leads so beautifully into Don't Touch My Hair.
Don't touch my hair. When it's the feelings I wear. Don't touch my soul. When it's the rhythm.
A song that just gets deeper and deeper and deeper into issues of identity that Black women deal with. Yeah.
Don't touch what's there.
Okay, so then let's move on to number three, Solange's sister, Beyonce.
Y'all haters corny with that Illuminati mess. Paparazzi, catch my fly and my cocky fresh. I'm so reckless when I rock my Givenchy dress. I'm so possessive, so I rock his rock necklaces. My daddy Alabama, mama Louisiana. You mix that Negro with that Creole, make a Texas Bama.
The Beyonce record is half political and half revenge fantasy at her cheating husband. And at the same time, she's asserting that in a political context.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. I like that.
I do not
Let's move on to a band that I don't think anyone has any trouble identifying as Southern.
No.
And that would never be the Drive-By Truckers.
Right.
Headed by Patterson Hood. This is the song What It Means off the album American Band from the Drive-By Truckers.
He was running down the street when they shot him in his tracks. About the only thing.
This album, even for the Drive-By Truckers, who are always fairly political, this is a very political album.
This is the most political album they've ever done. I know the first time I saw them was one of their first five gigs, so I've been with them all 20 years.
And if you say it wasn't racial when they shot him in his tracks, well, I guess that means that you ain't black. It means that you ain't black. I mean, Barack Obama won, and you can choose where to eat. But you don't see too many white kids lying bleeding on the street.
This is by far the best record they've ever done. And, you know, they have always been political. They haven't shied away from the difficult historical issues that a Southern upbringing leaves one with. But they've often done that in the context of other time periods. You know, like a lot of the stuff, you know, on different records is set in different time periods in the South.
Yeah, and if referring you listen to the Civil War and other and civil rights in
right,
those eras.
Exactly. Everything they did in this record was purely really contemporary of the moment and vital.
Kill that kid down in Florida standing ground. He's free to beat up on his girlfriend and wave his brand new gun around. While some kid is dead and buried and laying in the ground with a pocket full of skillets.
You know, we're talking about a lot of the implications, the history, the political nature of many of these albums, but it's fair to point out that they're all really good pop tunes. I mean, all of these albums are just great pop music.
I think so. Pop and rock music. You know, and there's elements of hip-hop and rhythm and blues in the mix of those top three albums, and they're just, I mean, that's why it was a stunning year for music. You will recall a couple of years ago we actually declared a tie at number one.
That's right.
And we considered briefly a tie at one for all three records, because each in its own way is, you know, in a normal year would be the best record of the year.
Well, then let's talk about someone who's probably been making these kind of lists for a very long time, and that's Lucinda Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another voice which is in and of the South and has been for a very long time. This is Louisiana Story from the album by Lucinda Williams, The Ghosts of Highway 20.
Down deep south, when I was growing up, looking back on the sweetness, looking back on the rough.
So how does this album sort of distinguish itself from her other albums?
When Lucinda first came out back in the 80s, you know, I immediately, you know, fell in love with her music and stayed that way for at least 10, 15 years. But it's been about 15 years since her Essence record, which I believe was in 2000, that I've actually just been bowled over by a Lucinda Williams record, but The Ghosts of Highway 20 certainly did that with me.
Hearing the neighbors talk, it's so hot you could fry an egg on the sidewalk. Outside playing barefoot in the street.
So why this one?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. I think Lucinda has settled into her age. She's 64 now. You know, a lot of Bob Dylan fans will talk about the current manifestation of Bob Dylan as Grandpa Dylan. And, you know, the Grandpa Dylan with the particularly raspy voice and...
slightly cranky.
Yeah, that was a guise that was firmly in place for him, you know, by 12, 15 years ago. And he's gotten really good at it. And this is the first record where I feel like we're getting the older Lucinda in a guise that she's comfortable with. The lyrics are uniformly very poetic, much in the mode of the poetry of her own father, Miller Williams, who passed away this year. The songs are as languid as the region itself.
When something got spilled, her daddy taught the Bible. Lake Charles to Monroe.
And the remarkable thing about this song is that as it meanders its way through all, I believe, 9 minutes and 15 seconds.
Is it really that long?
And it's only the seconds. I mean, it takes her 3 minutes to get through each of these verses. The song moves so slowly. But there are specific looks at the sweetness and at the rough in this song.
Her daddy's kind. Didn't spare the rod. Blinded by the fear. And the wrath of the Lord.
You get the rough side, too, where people take religious beliefs in this case to such an extreme that children are abused and told to go back in the house and tell the other parent, oh, I just fell down. And then she ends it the same way she began it. And it's almost like it's a song that sort of encompasses something very essential about the goodness and the badness that sits inside Southern culture.
The beauty and the beast, I guess.
It is. I mean, it's really, it's sort of a hillbilly version of Beauty and the Beast.
So let's move on to the last in the top five, not in order.
No.
This is Keep It Between the Lines. This is off the album A Sailor's Guide to Earth by Sturgill Simpson.
Long turn mailboxes in the baseball. Don't get busted selling at 17. Well, most thoughts deserve two or three more. Motor roll is motor roll. Just keep the engine clean. Keep your eyes on the prize. Everything will be fine. Long as you stay in school, stay off the hard stuff, and keep between the lines.
This is not as familiar a name to many people, so introduce people to Sturgill Simpson.
Well, Sturgill Simpson is probably the most interesting country music artist, at least to me, to come along in the last 10 years. He's from Kentucky originally, did a lot of living life and making mistakes before he settled into his career as a musician. I mean, he is now, with only his third album out, in his late 30s. And, you know, 2 years ago when we declared that tie, one of them was his last album, Metamodern Sounds in Country Western Music. And one of the things that everyone loved about that record and that I loved about that record was that he did things sonically with country music that you just don't hear people do. I've never heard a record that so liberally blends in so many different strains of Southern music into kind of a country context.
Yeah, he made it a gumbo.
It is. He totally made it a gumbo. Not only do you hear great country sort of Texas Roadhouse lead electric guitar parts and beautiful steel guitar parts, but there's also all these just fabulous horn arrangements that sound like they're straight out of Stax in Memphis.
There's a reason they make chocolate and vanilla tea. If there's any doubt, then there is no doubt. The good don't never lie. And the only word you'll ever need to know life is wild. Keep your head out of class and remember to be kind. Just stay in school, stay off the harsh shit. Make a dream of lines. Yeah.
The thing that I love about A Sailor's Guide to Earth is that the whole record is just a series of love songs and instructions for life to his new son, his firstborn. If I was his kid and I found out that my daddy had made this record for me, I would freak out. I would feel like I had a whole guide to life, you know, and this one song here catches him, you know, when he's getting into those early teen years and kind of tells him how to live.
That was Chuck Reese. He is editor of The Bitter Southerner. If you want to read more about his favorite Southern albums of 2016, visit gpbnews.org. As always, Chuck, thank you so much.
I am always glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.